Welcome to the Board of Education meeting, West Covina Unified School District. Call the meeting to order at 6 o'clock this evening. Is there any public comment regarding closed session? Hearing none, we will adjourn to closed session. All right, welcome. Thank you for being here. This is the April 22nd meeting of the Board of Education of West Covina Unified School District. Thank you very much for being here. We will start this evening's meeting was called to order at 6 o'clock this evening. We met in closed session, and now we're in an open session at 7:20. If you would please rise and join me in the invocation of the flag salute. Invocation led by Mr. Flowers.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together on this evening, Lord God. Father God, we ask you to bless this board, Lord God. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and direction, Lord God. Bless the superintendent, administration, and bless the staff. Lord God, bless the teachers, Lord God. Keep them covered. And we pray a special prayer for our children, Lord God. Keep them, just guide and protect them, Lord, and use them for your glory. And Lord, we ask these in thy son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call, please. Here.
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 Mr. Flowers.
Here.
Mr. Here.
Oh, we're not Hannah today.
No. Are you? Okay.
Good. All right. This evening, we discussed several matters in closed session. One of those items is an expulsion, which we are required to take action in open session. In accordance with Education Code 48918J, the board will take final action in open session on the expulsion matters described in Item A on the closed session agenda. With regard to the recommendation to expel student number 204660 for violation of Education Code Section 48900C, is there a motion? It was moved by Cammie Polis and seconded by Jessica Shoemaker. Any objections? Hearing none, the motion is so ordered. In closed session, it was moved by Cammie Polis and seconded by Mike Flowers. The board took action to settle an agreement related to OAH case number 201402405, and there was no objection to that action taken. All right, so that's a little bit of my housekeeping. Thank you for that. Next, we have always a very enjoyable part of our meetings before we get down to the tedium and the boredom, and that is presentations. Presentations this evening. And this evening, actually, I think what I'll do is I'll ask the principal from Holland Crest Middle School, Hector Galassia, whatever, something like that, to come up and make a presentation not only on the Holland Crest Middle School College and Career Readiness Program, but first to talk about Nathan Peralta and Zach Zong, Holland Crest Middle School first place and first place science Olympiad at Occidental College. Right? You can do that?
Yeah, I can do that. All right. Well, thank you for this wonderful opportunity and good evening to everyone. The Science Olympiad team at Holland Crest Middle School started in October 2013 with our on-site mousetrap wheeled vehicle competition. This mini competition allowed the students to showcase their building and engineering abilities. The students continued to further their understanding and knowledge through weekly meetings in which they researched, tested, built, and demonstrated their dedication. In January, Holland Crest had another on-site Crime Busters competition, which allowed the students to showcase their expertise of the science process and inquiry skills. After thorough examination of the students' knowledge, engineering abilities, and dedication, the coaches were able to choose the top 17 well-qualified GATE students in order to represent Holland Crest Middle School at the competition, which is the county competition. Through the support and dedication of students, parents, teachers, and administration. This year, 2013-2014, the Science Olympiad was successful and had a great learning opportunity for all students involved. On February the 22nd, 2014, students from Holland Crest Middle School competed against 39 middle schools in our first Science Olympiad regional competition at Occidental College. Science Olympiad is a team competition where students compete in various engineering and study events. Being that this is our first year within this event, school-wide as well as region, Nathan Peralta and Zach Song earned a first-place medal in this event, which is Can't Judge a Power. So we're extremely proud of these two students. Once again, I mean, this other 39 middle schools have participated in this competition for years, 10, 15 years, if not. And being our first year, we're definitely extremely proud of our students. So I want to ask them to come up. And there's Nathan Peralta and his family is here. His mom and dad are here. And is that little brother?
Yeah.
And his little brother as well. And then we also have Miss Marcia Lasso, which she was one of our coaches. Mrs. Roselli was unable to make it this evening, but I also want to ask her to come up here and also be recognized.
Wants to take this opportunity to recognize your accomplishments. First place in the Can't Judge a Powder at the Science Olympiad at Occidental College. Congratulations, partner.
And our next presentation is with Mr. Pedicini, Mark Pedicini, as well as Ms. Melissa Arriaza. They are both our academic counselors at Holland Crest. They're going to speak to us about the College Career Club at Holland Crest. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us. One of the things I wanted to talk about tonight is for the past 14 years, we have done what we call SPARC, and the SPARC stands for Support Personnel Accountability Report Card. And it's our way of monitoring what we do as counselors to make sure that we're making progress and we're making the right decisions and our programs are effective. And with that, I wanted to kind of show you a little bit about what the SPARC looks like. That's not it. There we go. The SPARC is done once a year. There's a strict curriculum that we have to follow, a rubric that we have to follow. It's submitted to the state. If we do it the way they want us to and it's perfect, then what we end up getting is an award, and it's recognized by the state of California, the California Office of Education, and it goes to the state superintendent as well. One of the things that we focused on this year because of Common Core is career, college readiness, and 21st century skills. And one of the sections up here, if you can kind of see right in the middle there, all of our programs are based on college career readiness, and there are charts here to indicate some of the effectiveness of the programs. One of the things that we did is we do college career guidance lessons with our eighth grade students, and they're able to access something called Career Zone. You can go online, Career Zone, California Career Zone, and basically what it is, it's a reality check of how expensive life is, what it takes to become successful, what colleges are available. It's related to careers, and all of our eighth graders are able to actually see what they have to do in order to get to their goals. They take a pretest and a post-test to make sure what they learned prior to and post-knowledge, and 90% of our kids actually gain success in that area. The A through G subjects, we discuss that through our AB 1802 counseling, and we do that every single year to make sure that they understand what's coming their way, because A through G subjects are extremely important going into high school. And then the 21st century skills, we have a college career club, and we're going to talk more in detail about that and the results of that program a little bit through this presentation. So along with that, I want to share something with you. We submitted the Spark this year, and on April 16th, we were notified that we got the award. It's going to be, it's signed by Tom Tonlarkson, and it goes to the state superintendent through the Board of Education, and it's on their website. So as of April 16th, that's official. So we're real excited about that. We're fortunate that for the past 14 years, we actually have received these awards, and it just kind of indicates that we're doing good things. I do have to say that this would never be possible without the support of our teachers and the students that we work with. So I want to thank those teachers for supporting us as well. Melissa Arias is going to talk to you a little bit about the College Career Club and what we've done with that program this year. We have significant activities that have happened recently. And at the end of our presentation, I want you to hear exactly what the students have to say, because I think that's equally important, if not more important. So we brought five of our students here. We'll introduce them in a little while.
Good evening, board members. I'm going to explain a little bit about our College Career Club. Our College Career Club is a curriculum-based program where we do college and career readiness and also 21st century skills. And Mr. Pedicini, myself, and Mrs. Perez, she's, I don't know if she's here, she's one of our coaches, and it's a 16-week program that we do with our kids. This year, our emphasis was with our this is our final project. You want to show the pictures? And so our seventh graders put on a college fair. And I know some of our board members came. It was an awesome thing. And these kids act as mentors to all the students at Holland Crest, and they actually put up science boards, and they kind of discuss the colleges, and they do a lot of research. So when our kids leave, they know about at least about 10 or 12 different colleges. They pass out brochures. Our kids contact the universities, the colleges. It's a really neat thing, and our kids learn a lot from it. They're all dressed up, and you can see some of them here again. Okay, and the next thing we're going to talk about is the final project for the eighth grade mentors was our career fair, and I know some of you were able to attend, some of you were actually in it. Thank you, Ms. Shoemaker. And this shows you that we had about 70 presenters. Our students, our eighth grade mentors, contacted community members, parents, and they asked them to come to our school and speak about their experiences and careers. So our students were able to pick their three top choices, and they were set up in classroom situations. These are our musicians. They put on a great show. The kids loved it. We had police officers and so forth. But they were able to actually choose, like I said, their top three choices. And there were different people that were in the similar areas. And so it kind of broke it up. And then they each spoke about 15 to 20 minutes. And the kids really got to learn about their career. They got to ask questions. And it was just an awesome experience. Our kids walked away with a lot of knowledge. And the presenters loved it. And so we do this about every other year. Anything else you want to add?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the other things that we wanted to get some feedback from our presenters, and we created a survey. We had them use our iPads that day, so they were kind of excited about that. But as you can kind of see the survey, it was well received. They felt that the activity, the event, was well organized. And one of the most important things is I wanted to make sure that they were interested in coming back. So the last question is, I would be happy to be part of our future career fairs at HMS, and we had 91% strongly agree, and 9% agree, which was five people. So that was a good thing to know that we were doing the right thing. With that, I want to introduce, we're going to play a short video for you after our presenters come up, but I would like to have, would you like to start?
Anthony,
please stand up. He's going to talk to you a little bit about his experience in the College Career Club, and you want to come up here?
Okay.
No, right here. Come here. Go ahead.
All right, well, hello. My name is Anthony Ocampo, and I am a seventh grader at Holland Crest Middle School, and this is my first year in the College Career Club, and I enjoyed it a lot. It was a really fun experience, and, sorry. I've always thought about going to college. I've always wanted to go to college, And this club made me realize how difficult and how much you have to do and how early you must start saving and doing good in school to get into these colleges. And I...
Hi everyone, my name is Paola and I am a 7th grader at Holland Crest Middle School. This was my first year as well doing the College Career Club, and I'm very happy that I was able to do it because not only was it a great and fun experience, but more importantly, it was very educational. It opened up my eyes and made me realize that it's never too early to start thinking about college. It was also very good to be informed about colleges and majors because, as we all know, time flies, and by the time I know it, I'll probably be applying and choosing colleges myself. It was very interesting because we learned about majors and which universities specialize in these majors. Another fun part of this experience was that we got to visit a university, which is very exciting and a new experience, especially since you don't usually hear 7th and 8th graders saying, oh, I got a campus tour of this college and such. So it was very special to me to be a part of this club, and I really did learn a lot. Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Zymelis Ramos and I'm an 8th grader in Holland Crest Middle School, and this is actually my first year in the College Career Club. And I really had a lot of fun in this club. It taught me a lot of things, like how we were planning for the fair. We worked in teams, and I worked with my classmates, and we were planning out how we were going to call them and the theme for the College Career Club. And actually, I drew the drawing that is on your cover paper thing. And I got very creative with it, and I had a lot of fun drawing that. And so that was one of the fun things that I did. Also, when I really liked going to Cal State Fullerton, which was the college that we went to. And so the college was really interesting because I never been to a college before, and I didn't realize how much everything costs and how much the tuition was. And we also learned how to apply for college. We did like a fake thing where we wrote down our fake names and stuff, and like it was really cool. I didn't realize that you had to do so much to go to college, and it was a really fun experience for me. So thank you.
Oh my God, there are so many of you. Hi, I'm Zoe Sunis. I'm a 7th grader in Holland Crest Middle School. Wow, I'm just nervously getting old. It was my first year doing the College Career Club, and I was focused on the college part of the College Career Club. Like they've said, I didn't realize how much I had to do just to get to college. I expected when you got out of high school, you paid for it and you got in, but I didn't realize how much it cost. Wow. God. It was also a lot of fun to get to work with other students. I got to work with a partner that I haven't really talked to, and now we're close friends. And the cooperation level to go through a lot of that, it's 16 weeks, like they said, and that's a lot of cooperation coming from two people for an hour. And, yeah, the college, going to Cal State Fullerton was a lot of interesting things. They have some strange statues over there, that's for sure. My favorite part probably going over there was the library. Yeah, I love to read so much, and the library was huge. So, yeah, it was a very interesting experience, and I would love to do it again next year.
Looks like I'm here to beat the dead horse by just mentioning it.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with introductions. My name is Joshua Turner. I'm in eighth grade, and I'm here to represent the college career fair, as you pretty much should know. All right. My experience with the college career fair has been fun, interesting, educational, as my peers have said. We've learned so much. An example would be when we first started, we would come over to these computers in the computer lab and call up several people to come over, and we would ask them to represent their careers, in a sense, and tell them about themselves, what they should do to enter, how to enter, what majors they should be doing. And it was just kind of fun because we were kind of playing the role of a receptionist. We were telling them, oh, please be here on this and this date. It would be so great to have you. I even was on the table handing out the little name stickers for everybody and giving them a little speech of, oh, thank you for coming. It's great to see you here. And then with our buddies who created our college fair little presentations, it was pretty awesome to see that they put a lot of work in it. They showed us the mascots, how much it cost, and it pretty much skyrocketed my expectations just seeing it. I'm just thinking to myself, well, I got nothing in my pockets. So it just was really awesome, and I'd love to be in it again. Unfortunately, I'm moving up to high school, so I thought it's a great experience, and I can't wait for my brother, who's going to be entering, to enjoy it as well as I did. I hope he gets in. So thank you for listening to me.
Last but not least, Cassidy Hang is one of our members, and she couldn't be here tonight, and she asked me if it was possible to put a small little video together, a two-minute little blurb, because she wanted to be here, but she had a family situation. So I'm going to
– Just before you finish that,
yeah,
I'd really like to hear what Anthony wanted to finish saying.
You want to finish? No.
This is Anthony here.
Do you want to? Oh, come on.
Not you, right? Mark wasn't sure who Anthony was.
I'm sorry for my first try up here. I kind of got reminded of what we did in College Career Club when all my peers went up. I remember we got to write letters to the college asking them to send us like things we could give out to the students that visited our booth. I did Mount SAC because we had to pick a certain amount of colleges, and we had to pick a certain amount of community colleges and universities. And Mount SAC sent us pencils, and I got to hand those out to my students that came to my booth. And it was really fun. Like we said, we got to go to Cal State Fullerton. I'd never been on a college tour before, and Cal State Fullerton is a really nice college. I hope all colleges are like that. They had a game room and and they had a statue, the David, and you got to rub his butt for good luck.
Anthony,
I'm
sorry. I asked you to come up and
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was a bad choice of words. We got to rub his behind. For good luck. And it was a really fun experience. And I hope I get to be in College Career Club again next year.
Let's hear you top that.
That's a hard act to follow. I don't know if I want to, but I'm just going to play a quick video from Cassidy to you guys. Oh.
I also got to go to the field trip on that day at our school, and my parents is exciting. I am very excited and also very pleased to be going to be holding this career fair out of school because it is very exciting and also I get to learn a lot of stuff that is at the career. When I grow older, I want to become a singer, and I'm happy that I got to know my musicians and also composers that will be attending at our school this Friday. Hopefully, I can learn a lot of stuff and also get more into the music arts, and also many more stuff as well. I'm very satisfied and also very, very honored to be in this college career club because it is very fun and also I get to work with a lot of amazing students. And it is a very rare opportunity for me to be in, and I'm very happy to be in it. I hope that you guys all enjoy this presentation, and hopefully more students that will be coming next year, hopefully they will be in the college career club.
Thank you for your time.
Can we get a picture of you guys with your kids?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
Our
next presentation this evening, I'd like to kind of give a little bit of an introduction, maybe a little bit of a background. About 15 years ago or so, a friend of mine called me up and said that a Hollywood actor he'd heard that I was on the Board of Education and he wanted to come out to West Covina to meet with me. And I said, well, sure, I'll do what I can to help his career. And so we did. We ate lunch. We had a nice time, chatted. He talked about some things that he wanted to do for education and some ideas that he had. And I told him, well, that would be a good idea, except that, you know, I really thought he had a good chance in acting. I thought he was pretty darn good. And after that meeting, he then took off. He's starred in many Hollywood productions, film, television, bit parts on, I think, Seinfeld and L.A. Law and all kinds of stuff. Monk, I think he was even on an episode of Monk and these and that. His career's done phenomenally. He did a part in a TV series called Ugly Betty. He has done a tremendous amount of work. He's a special guy, and we're fortunate to have him associated with our schools, working with the Children's Theater Workshop and other programs in the district, and I know his love and desire for children and children in acting is tremendous, and he is really a nice guy, and I'd like to introduce to you Tony Plana to here to talk to us.
Thank you, Steve. You know, last time I presented before a board, I was introduced as George Lopez. So I'm really grateful you got my name right and most of my credits right.
It's written down here. You see?
That's good. I'm grateful and thankful to Superintendent Kaplan and Principal Marentes for inviting me tonight to present before the board. I don't usually do this, but it's been wonderful to be, you know, upstage by these these amazing young people. You know, I don't know if you know this, but if you take a child that's never been to a college campus for the first time, it doubles your chances of attending college. Really? It's an amazing statistic, and we've often, you know, with the different school districts that we've worked, we've taken kids to the college campus, and I think from Sam Elise's drawing, I guess Cal State Fullerton is really the land of Oz. And now that I know there's some interesting things to do there, I'm going to have to go back because I missed the butt rubbing thing. That wasn't on the tour. I missed that. But really delightful. I love your presentations and your passion for looking for a career. Let me tell you, my career, it's funny, I circle back to education, but my career was a reluctant one because I knew that my industry experiences about 95% unemployment. The 5% that do make a living, they are at the poverty level. And then there's a middle class and an upper class, of course, Tom Cruise and all his buddies. But I think what changed it for me was something that I did not have in the eighth grade. And it wasn't reluctantly that I didn't choose acting until college. But I was recruited repeatedly by teachers who saw that I had a gift, saw that I had the talent, and kept saying, you know, you should be an actor, this and that. Mostly because I got in trouble in class for saying the wrong things. but what's interesting is that I had renounced acting, and I told all my teachers who encouraged me that I didn't want to be an actor. I just wanted to be a lawyer. And then I started trying to be a lawyer, and I realized I didn't want to be a lawyer. I just wanted to play one on TV, and I didn't want to do any of the hard work, just show up for the final summation where I got to say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. But what it did teach me is that language skills are so critical to anything you do in life. The fact that you guys had that wonderful experience of getting up and kind of spacing out, that happens to actors all the time. It's called the actor's nightmare. I mean, communication skills are key in life, in whatever you do, in school, in the workplace, in relationships, in your family life. And being an immigrant and having, you know, English being my second language and having teachers and acting and my you know, training in acting develop language skills that allowed me to succeed in a career that is almost impossible to succeed. As Mr. Cox was saying, you know, you have to have a tremendous amount of skill and dedication to be competitive. And so at a certain time in my life, about 17 years ago, I felt it was time for me to give back. And that's what brought me into back into education. Because I felt that what we could help our children with, especially Latino and African American children, Asian children who are part of the immigrant experience, that we could help them by using acting tools, teaching and theater tools to help them become better communicators, learn how to read, write, and speak better, and to acquire the language faster, and to enjoy doing it, because we our program is called Language in Play that we have at Coronado. So that tells you a little bit about what got me into this and why you have an actor talking to you about education today, and why I'm somewhat qualified to do that. But I do want to tell you that in our experience of the last 17 years where we have done programs at LA Unified, all throughout Southern California, San Bernardino, et cetera, we're doing programs in New York State and New York City, in Philadelphia, in Boston. One of the things that I think we have discovered is that, and it's what leads me to be presenting to you today, is the fact that we are still struggling tremendously with language in our schools. It's probably our biggest challenge in terms of as educators, as students, and members of the community. We it's a challenge that has been hard to meet and to overcome. And we've also, you know, been fortunate to have had some wonderful help from great educators, PhDs, doctors in language acquisition that have helped us create curriculums that are now aligned to Common Core that have helped us be even more effective as we developed the program over 17 years. Now, the reason why I'm here is because we've been working in the district for about 4 years. And we've been very successful, and we became particularly successful in the last three or so years at Coronado High School. And it was the first time we had worked in a continuation high school. And so last year, I was asked by PBS to come to their national conference and be on a panel about how do we confront these challenges in terms of language acquisition, low income factors affecting our educational system. And in the panel, they asked me to cite some of our successes, and I mentioned West Covina, and I mentioned Coronado High School, and I mentioned Miss Fountain there, and what happened with these kids that were struggling and who were particularly struggling with language arts and who were looking for a different way to engage in the acquisition of language and of language skills. And they became intrigued. And when PBS gets intrigued, they want to make a documentary. And so that's why I'm here, because they approached me about doing a documentary at Coronado about our program, Language and Play. But they also wanted to see if we could include some of the other programs that we've added, you know, to our Language and Play. We have another program called Teaching as Play, because we believe that play is disguised learning, and that children are able to learn in many different ways. And when they're having trouble learning a certain way, it's always smart, I think effective, to teach them in a different way than they're used to, especially with language. So they became intrigued in maybe coming and seeing how language play works at Coronado. They're also interested to see if we could bring in Teaching as Play, which is a professional development program that we've developed, where we train teachers to do what we do as actors in the classroom and enhance their teaching skills and the kids' learning experience by witnessing the demonstration of what happens in the Language and Play classroom. And then the last component, which we've added, because we feel strongly about this, is that we've developed a program for parents. Look, you know these statistics, but Latino children and African-American children experience 4 to 5 times the disciplinary actions of their counterparts. They are also, in general, 3 or 4 grades below grade level in terms of their academic capacity. They are also experiencing the highest level of regression when they're not in school. So when they're in school, they're doing fine, and when they go home in the summer, they lose a lot of what they learn, and they have to come back and review it again. So our attempt was to use the theater skills in terms of role-playing to see if we can, and theater and communication skills, to see if we could enhance the capacity of parents, not only at home, but also in terms of how they communicated with the school, with their students, et cetera, and also with each other. So we did a pilot program at LA Unified. We've done it there several times. We've done it in different places throughout the country. PBS is really interested in coming and doing a documentary about that, about these three programs. So the same students who participate in Language and Play, along with teachers from the school, kind of observing that demonstration site, and also the parents of the children who are in Language and Play experiencing a similar process as their children. And they would like to be able to document that on film and put it together as a documentary of this kind of extraordinary approach to the very issues that we're dealing with in this country, not just in West Covina, but they're particularly interested in what happens to these continuation school students and how they embrace this program, and they really have enjoyed it and benefited from it. So just to elaborate a little more on the parents program is really geared towards helping parents to assess needs, address needs, and also to create an environment at home that is more conducive to learning. and to deal with the challenges of two jobs, you know, latchkey conditions, et cetera, and how to, you know, one of the principles that we work on is that don't do things for your children. My grandmother and my mother would not let me go near the kitchen. You know, this is our territory. So I can barely boil eggs. You know, thank God that my wife knows how to cook, and she's Mexican, so that's good. She really cooks well. It's about, in a sense, changing the perspective of the parents, creating a file for that student, and creating a more informed way of tackling the issues at home for these children and for these parents. They would like to start interviewing the students that are going to be in Ms. Fountain's class at Coronado in August when your school year begins. And then from those interviews with parents and with children, begin to select the ones that are going to be followed, documented in the documentary. And that's about it. I'm open to any questions about it. I think that this is a wonderful opportunity to show the tremendous work that Ms. Fountain has done with the teaching artists at Coronado, the work that these children have achieved. They have embraced language arts in a way that we feel is highly effective, which is teaching language from the inside out instead of from the outside in. Instead of giving them a text and saying, learn English, you say, why don't we use journals, and we end up writing stories about their own lives. We end up talking, creating monologues about their own experiences. We end up writing scenes about their own life. So through autobiographical exploration of themselves and their persons, we start to build and strengthen identity and pride in that identity and the uniqueness of that identity, where their parents are from, what kind of cultures they come from, etc. And they have to express that eventually in 5 to 10 minute plays that they perform as a culmination to the process. So it is what we call teaching language in a very personal and emotionally affective way, so that they want to learn language because they want to be able to express things about themselves and their experiences. We found it to be very effective, and we hope that you will approve the documentary coming here. We want to let you know that we're going to be extremely sensitive in terms of, you know, protecting the privacy of individuals unless they, you know, they give us permission. And you know, any other questions about that, I'm willing to answer if, you know, at your convenience.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Great. And if you happen to find a place where you need kind of an interesting and an unusual character in this program, I'd like you to consider our very own Brother Love.
Okay. That's a
no-brainer. A little inside joke here, sir. Yeah. Hey, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. All right. We'll go on with the rest of the meeting this evening. Hearing reports, any... I don't have anything. Board of Education report. Jessica, go ahead.
I'm happy to see the participants of the Hall and Crest Career Fair here. I obviously was one of the presenters. It was interesting because this is the second time I've done it. And the first time I did it, they asked me to speak as sort of a politician. So I spoke with a former congressman. This year, they asked me to speak as what I call my day job, which is as a paralegal. What made it funny for me is the attorney that I spoke with happens to be the former mayor of West Covina, so the students ended up with politicians who also work in the legal field. So we were able to speak about both things. I look forward to returning in 2 years. I wish it was every year. I understand why it's not. It's pretty difficult to put together. And thank you to the students for presenting to us wonderfully, showing us around campus. I remember who took me to the classroom, who was in the classroom during a couple of my sessions. And so thank you again for inviting me and for showing us a wonderful time and showing the community that was involved, the wonderful students we have in West Covina.
Okay, for my colleagues, first of all, I was given invitations to extend to all of you, so this is not on my behalf, this is on behalf of the Masonic Lodge. They're having a 100-year celebration coming up in June. I think it's the first, here, I'll pass them through. Oh, sorry, this one's yours. So I've said I would pass them along. There you go, sir. I just wanted to bring my colleagues up to speed that the East San Gabriel Valley ROP, we only meet once a month, but right now they're considering three proposals for a new computer system to improve the effectiveness of the program, and they were featured on Channel 7 last week. So they're doing amazing things over there, so I just wanted to bring my colleagues up to speed on that. The West Covina Council PTA Annual Awards Dinner, if we have any PTA parents in the audience, did a really, really good job back on the 27th. Thanks for inviting us. It was great to see all the cohesion and the collaboration at each of the schools. And Edgewood, I went to your open house. You all did a really great job over there. Thank you very much, all your teachers. And I love looking at all the presentations inside the gym. So excellent job there. And then the last is the NSBA conference. We attended the NSBA conference recently, my colleagues and I. And as there's a lot to share, and I will sit down with the superintendent, as I do every year, to go over some of the things. But the two that stood out that I just wanted to share with everyone was the Freedom Writers Project. And I'd like to explore about how we can maybe bring it to our district for students that are achieving a 1.9 GPA or less. And it fits in line with our strategic plan. It fits in line with Common Core. But that really, really struck me and felt like this would be a good fit for us. And then number two, something that's really important. Mr. Flowers and I were diehards to the end. It was the very, very last workshop.
I was there.
Cammie was there too. But I'm saying Mr. Flowers and I were at the very last workshop of the day on Monday. And it really stood out to me, and it was about professional development and learning and professional learning. They didn't call it professional development. They called it professional learning. And what stood out to me is that they indicated we have to model professional learning to our district as board members, that we need to keep that up and make it a priority. And that really stood out. And so I was really pleased. We read To Kill a Mockingbird together, and I'm hoping that we'll take on some other books and other topics and show that we do value professional learning as board members and that we are keeping it up ourselves. So I wanted to share those things. So thank you. The conference was excellent, excellent. Okay, I'm done.
A lot of the things we learned at NSBA were working with children at risk and how to get them to college. And it's really exciting that some of the things we learned have already been implemented. And they were suggesting starting some of this in elementary school. And I know at three of our elementary schools, they do wear college T-shirts to school. And usually it's their parents' selection or one that their parents would like their children to go to. But and then having pizza parties to fill out all that paperwork to get those school loans. And they invite their juniors in and have them start learning how to fill out the forms. And I might be in October of their senior year, they actually have these huge parties and the people can come in and get pizzas and that you can apply for scholarships to get the people that have the most FAFSA. Sorry, I have my retainer in. Their scholarships where they will give that group of schools, of students, the school that has the most money, small scholarships on top of the money that they get after filling the applications out. And with those incentives, I think that there were some utility companies doing it. They sponsored the parties and then sponsored the extra money that any student who filled that out got. And it wasn't a lot of money. It was just another incentive. And I thought, well, maybe it wouldn't even pay for a book. But you know what? That's a book. On top of the other money, there's a good chance that you were going to get after that extensive paperwork. And they encouraged the parents to come before that to find out how important it was, and sponsored a little social for parents to learn when in their junior year how to do that. So to hear you're already excited, some of you have careers in mind, you know what colleges to go for that, you can start, we can start pushing to help you with those big bills that each and every one of you said, I didn't know how much it cost. And I know your parents are saying, it's going to cost so much. But to find out ways now on how to work and what it takes, you know, what your grade point average needs, how much more money you get from a 4.0 from a 3.0, to encourage you with all of that work is going to pay off in the end. And to see you already geared up for that, and from what we learned, to see that we're already well on that track, it's really, really exciting. And then to hear what may be happening at Coronado for the at-risk students, what they had some really great suggestions, all of which he can, they didn't talk about doing in a documentary, but for reaching them in a place where they are. And you have to reach them there before they're ready to learn. And it seems like these programs are really getting them where they're at and getting them ready to learn. And I know in an organization we're in, we have Play to Learn. And that's for very little ones. But they're using that, incorporating that all the way through, because education can be so fun. And just so you know, I'm always reading, and I'm always furthering my education, and I'm so glad I'm not tested on it now.
Well, I won't be for you long, but the NSBA conference was stellar. Mrs. Jimenez and I, we talked about doing something with the Freedom Riders, and what exciting event it will be if we can get it off the ground. And to Harlan Crest, I came to visit you guys at your career day. Oh, you guys was awesome. You know, and your music program, you know, I'm from Memphis, so I sit and they was playing the blues. Now I really got, you know, I just give you, before I say anything, I got to do this. Just play me some of that down home blues. So you know what I'm talking about. They were playing the blues in there, so I had to give them a blues. So you tell Willie I did that for him. But, you know, it's good to see you guys. Young folks, keep doing what you do.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin, student representative report, please.
All right. So, Coronado High School, seniors continue to work towards graduation, and we are on schedule to have approximately 100 graduates. Coronado will be honored on Friday, May 2nd, at the Continuation School State Conference for Model School Status. Superintendent Kaplan, Mr. Morantes, and senior staff members will attend the dinner in North Hollywood. Our co-ed softball team finished a very successful season, and we will compete next Wednesday in our first soccer match against Sierra High School. Congratulations to Mr. Irvin Thomas for being named Coronado Teacher of the Year. It is a well-deserved honor. Okay, West Covina High School. After a much-needed spring break, West Covina High School has resumed its usual light speed pace. Testing continues to be a focus on campus. We completed CAASP testing with all 11th graders and life science testing with all 10th graders prior to our spring break. 11th grade students will CST/EAP test this week, concluding our accountability assessments for the year. We get 1 week break from testing and begin AP testing the first week in May. Today we began preparing for our WASC midterm accreditation visit, which is scheduled for spring of 2015. Our staff worked in teams to identify evidence of adherence to our school's action plan and the recommendations left behind by the visiting team in 2012. Once completed, our action plan and revised school profile will be sent to our WASC chair to review prior to our site visit. We expect a glowing report and for a full recommendation to continue our six-year accreditation until 2018. This is a busy time for seniors as well, as they prepare for all of our end-of-the-year activities and commencement. Seniors participated in a 2-day lecture series aimed at supporting their graduation and transition to life after high school. Guest speakers spoke about graduation requirements, college and career, and adult decision making. This week is also Spirit Week on campus as we prepare for the final rally of the school year. Our Friday rally is sponsored by Renaissance and promises to be an exciting way to end the year spirit and class competitions. All right. Edgewood High School. Travel Club is back from an amazing trip to China. Our 21 students and 4 teachers had a marvelous time and created friendships and memories that will last forever. They would like to thank our superintendent and the Board of Education for allowing them to have this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Today was the first day of our every 15-minute program. Tomorrow there will be a memorial assembly in the gym at 10:30. At that time, our film will be shown, and speakers will include participating students and parents, as well as a speaker from MADD. A luncheon will follow the assembly for all who participated in the program. We would like to extend an invitation to the board to join us at this event. Prom is right around the corner. On Saturday, April 26th, Edgewood will have its first prom at the Santa Anita Racetrack. 226 tickets have been sold, which is double what we expected, and students and teachers alike are looking forward to this event. Choir will hold an end-of-the-year concert on Wednesday, April 30th at 7:30. We are all invited to attend. We are very proud to announce that Miss Lisa Kidd was voted Edgewood's Teacher of the Year. Miss Kidd is not only an astounding art teacher, but she is also in charge of yearbook, she coaches cheer, and serves as advisor for the senior class. Thank you.
All right, and now is the opportunity for the public to address the board. And I have 2 speakers, and then if with time we'll allow others if you would like. The first speaker we have for this evening is Veronica Cortez.
Good evening, board members. My name is Veronica Cortez. I've been here a few times before. The previous times I mentioned about the changes that need to be made at an elementary level. Today I'm going to be requesting some changes at a high school level. As you might recall, I told you I had a freshman at the high school, West Covina High School. I had to write everything down because I have so much information. I wanted to request the keyword communication. Last year we had a transitioning meeting, and my husband, myself, and my kids were the only parents there. We were excited to go and meet new parents from the other junior highs coming into the high school, and we were the only ones there. So it was devastating because I wanted, as a parent, you know, meet other parents that were all going through the same thing together. I keep on asking for, you know, communication, a website, an app. I know I've talked to a few people that mentioned you guys are thinking of doing an app on the phones. That would be great. It would have to be in Spanish and English because a lot of the parents are bilingual. Secondly, my concern would be also for communication at the high school, the counselors through the teachers. My daughter was in theater she's in theater this year. Her teacher went on maternity leave, and nobody told her teacher that the new teacher covering that she had an IEP. Her grade dropped from 2 grade levels, from a B to a D minus. Nobody notified her. I'm the one that had to email the teacher requesting, like, why is my daughter's grade dropping? And that's when I found out she was covering for the teacher. I told her, do you know that she has an IEP? She didn't. I went to the open house, and she thanked me for letting her know that she had an IEP. And somebody dropped the ball. I had a meeting, an addendum the Friday before spring break, letting them know, you know, somebody's getting paid, but I did their job. So if teachers leave, somebody needs to let the new teacher let them know that these children have IEPs. The principal said there's 150 children under the IEP umbrella at the high school. So that's a large group. And I'm sure my daughter's not the only one in theater that happened. I'm glad her grade did get changed, but it was after the report card came out with the D minus. They went in there and they changed it after I complained. So that was my second complaint. And then I'm requesting also for the special education to train the teachers, the people that talk to us at IEP meetings. I understand sometimes you get numb, it's an IEP, you have deadlines, but we are parents, and sometimes when our children have a new diagnosis, that's a lot of information to throw at us at a meeting. I had an issue with my daughter in November. She's always had two diagnoses, and when I went to the high school, when she went to the high school, she got a new diagnosis, and I sat there for 2.5 hours, speechless. I couldn't ask questions. I couldn't advocate. As her education holder, I should have been able to get a call before and say, you know, Ms. Cortez, can you come into my office or a phone, and let's talk about this new diagnosis instead of doing it at the meeting. So I think I know I'm not the only parent. You know, we need to train our teachers, our psychologists. I got to give credit to the school psychologist at the high school. She did call me a week later and checked on me because it was devastating. And I feel like I'm educated. And I can't even imagine other parents that don't speak up, you know. And I think we need to train the staff members on that. And also, I'd like to request, I hope I don't offend any teachers, special ed teachers. I know I saw a few faces here. But also that we need to train our teachers and our children, special ed children, on bullying. Because it seems like every time I talk to a parent that has a child with special needs, their children are getting hit, you know, kicked. My daughter just on the bus had a senior ask her for her money. And this is... And the bus, you know, we sent her to school to be safe, not to be bullied and harassed about her money. So somebody needs to address this. And then the common core curriculum, I know I've been talking to some of the teachers, and they say it's not going to affect our children till, I guess, next year it's going to be more like the juniors. But I think if that's going to be the case, that we need to have – something sent out to our parents, let us know, you know, if it's going to affect our children or if it doesn't, like that we're not stressing out, you know, trying to get information online. It should be coming from the school district. And then the last case would be we should have a open forum. I don't know if it's coming here because I could come here at every board meeting because I could write a book about West Covina just on my own two kids, you know. But I think we should have a meeting with the special ed department and for parents to be able to ask questions open freely. I know they had, I think it was a meet and greet with Ms. Kim Alexander a few months ago. But it was at 8 o'clock. A lot of the parents have to drop off kids, so a lot of parents didn't show up because it was at 8 o'clock. And they have to drop off their kids at 8:30 and 9. So it would be nice to have an evening meeting. Thank you so much for your time.
Linda Robertson.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having us here this evening. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak. I have a little speech written out, but I was looking through the notes, and I see a letter here that we receive every year, and it's the Day of the Teacher letter, and we all get that in our boxes. And I'd like to just read it out loud, because I think the words on it are very sincere, and I think we all need to hear them out loud, and I'll be as quick as I can. The Day of the Teacher, whereas America's greatest strength has always been an educated citizenry, and whereas the educated citizenry is directly attributed to our system of free and universal public education that provides an educational opportunity for all students, and whereas the foundation upon which that system of public schooling rest is the classroom teacher. And whereas the classroom teacher is challenged daily to reach out to every student, regardless of ability, interest in learning, social or economic background, physical, mental, or emotional handicap, race, religion, creed, or ethnic origin, to provide the assistance and guidance necessary for full intellectual development, and whereas the classroom teacher is the key to the intellectual and occupational preparation of individual citizens who collectively determine the quality of life in America and in this community, and whereas the classroom teacher deserves the deepest respect and admiration of the citizens of this community, we therefore, be it resolved, that the West Covina Unified School District hereby recognizes and wishes to honor the contributions of our classroom teachers to quality education in the state of California and in the West Covina Unified School District, and declares May 14, 2014, as the Day of the Teacher in the West Covina Unified School District. Thank you so much for presenting and providing this letter to us every year. I've been a teacher in this district for 23 years. I've been an RSP teacher. I've been a Title I coordinator. I've been an RTI teacher. I've been a GATE coordinator. I've had many different positions, and I'm now working under the 9th Director of Special Education. And I don't know a more collective group than those that are here tonight. I don't know a more passionate group of people who care about meeting needs, who care about meeting directives and requirements from the state, from the federal government, from our district. I don't know anyone who tries harder than this group of people I've worked with for years. And we received this letter, and the letter is wonderful. And when I see these children get up, these students of ours, not children, our students stand up in front of you speaking so adamantly about going to college, I think the number one thing they all said is how expensive it is. They didn't know. And many of these people out here, myself included, and I know those who aren't here tonight, are still holding student loans, are still paying off our student loans for the privilege to teach these students. And they are shocked and surprised at how much it costs. And here we are fighting over pennies. And I feel very insulted at what's being offered. And I just wanted to state that. And I thought that your own words that you give us every year, and yet when we go to negotiations, it feels like this just goes right in the trash can. None of it matters. And that's how it feels. And I just wanted to let you know, I love working here. I've always loved West Covina Unified. But I'm a bit really insulted and very disheartened. And I know many of us here are too. We've made it through the second greatest depression in the United States, the history of the United States. We've made it through that. And we took partial COLAs for each one of us to allow our district to put this money away and keep it safe, to make sure we never do what happened to the district 30 years ago. Many people who work in our district weren't even born then. But we're making sure that that doesn't happen again. And our COLA has been kept safe. But now it's being spent at huge amounts, quickly, on good things. We agree with that. And we know that with our responsibility of new curriculum, new writing, new grades, new everything that's coming at us, we know that our administrators must carry that burden as well. But we would never stand in their way of being paid fairly and adequately for their work. And we would like to be paid for ours. And the good things that you see in this district are done in the trenches, in the classrooms, by the teachers that are here. So thank you very much for your time.
I have no other cards this evening for people who have asked to speak, but you've been patient, and if there is something that you'd like to add, you're certainly welcome to address us at this time. All right. With that, we'll move on to the next portion of our meeting.
Do we need a break?
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you. We're going to take just a few minute break, and we'll come right back.